Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
The number 18 Butler Grizzlies on the road tonight in Great Bend facing Barton County Butler basketball on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. Just download the app, visit odyssey.com, search for KFH. If you can't listen to it in your car, we appreciate you listening to us in your car on your way to work, perhaps. A lot of K-State fans, a lot of Wichita State fans out there this morning, maybe riding a little bit higher, probably more to the K-State side of that. As we welcome you back in, Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here. We'll have Shreyas Lotta in next hour to talk KU sports, mostly basketball, maybe a little time for football. We'll see as they're getting ready to go back into the booth. Schedules released, by the way, for K-State and KU football. KU football, I thought, you know, looked pretty good on the schedule. They got a decent one. K-State's probably a little bit tougher. But that's out there, too. We'll maybe get some thoughts from Shreyas on that, as well as KU basketball. Tommy, the Shockers last night. We'll just dig in a little bit there. We'll talk a lot of Chiefs in the next hour. They get the win. And I don't know. I mean, they have to, right? Like, it's hard to handle it. Corey Washington, I thought, with the other guys out, I don't remember. There may have been a time or two otherwise in this season where he's taken the offensive workload like he did last night. Took 15 shots. Quincy Ballard was fantastic, which needed to happen. Look, those are your two quote-unquote bigs. Certainly Ballard, a little bit of Washington, and that's what Charlotte score. That's what they struggle with. One of the worst teams defending the paint in the country. And the Shockers attack the paint at, you know, like very, very consistently. So that part of it made a lot of sense last night. And they were able to get a win without two of their key contributors. So I don't want to gloss over it. That was a nice win for them. It was nice considering they got down, 7 or 8 early in the game, were able to settle down and then just sort of control things the rest of the way. That's honestly, Tommy, that's what they should do in the American Athletic Conference. It's not a very good league this year, and they need to be doing more of that type of thing, and they will have a lot of opportunities down the stretch. They're going to play Memphis. We know UAB is pretty good, actually. Like, they're not bad. So you've got Memphis, UAB, and North Texas left. And then you got a bunch of other games where, if you're trying to be realistic to what Wichita State should be, they should win them all. They should win them all these other games. I'll give you a pass on Memphis, North Texas, and UAB. Got to win all the other ones.
Yeah, you know, last night the outside shooting was bad per usual. Like, that's just not the strength of this team at all. They were 2 of 12 from beyond the arc, but they shot overall over 50% from the field. So they made up for it in the paint. And they made up for it with Quincy Ballard and Corey Washington for sure. I mean, 21-10 for Washington, 12-13 for Quincy Ballard. So you've got two guys that are going out there and giving you double-double efforts. That was the key. And they needed both of those guys to have effective games on both ends of the court when you've got Harlan Beverly and Justin Hill out. If you're not going to have your top backcourt, then you need to have your front court be able to be effective. And those two guys were last night in picking up the slack. I thought that it was really impactful the minutes that Zion Pipkin played. And we've seen him in limited fashion this season. And, you know, I know that Bijan Cortez got the start, but you saw Pipkin in action. I think he played around 10 minutes or so in that game. And you know, it wasn't, you didn't see like just this major, massive drop off when he was on the court. He was able to handle himself. And I think that was really important, knowing that, you know, as you get further on into the season and beyond, to have a guy like Pipkin that can be a contributor.
Let's find out, right? I mean, that's a part of what we want to see down the stretch, is it's really just he and Joy Igavoja, you know, as far as like what's going to be back that could develop into something. I'm with you. Like, you want to see that, and we'll see if TJ Williams can ever get out there. And but at the same time, I wonder how much, I don't want to say how much pressure Paul Mills feels, because it would be a very, very large amount. But I wonder how much real, like, win now versus see what young guys have sort of pressure exists. Because at the end of the day, they just got to, I mean, they're going to get to the conference tournament and do whatever it is that they do, one way or the other. It's an interesting dynamic to college basketball altogether now, really, Tommy. Like, let's look at everything big picture. The last year that the Shockers had, and then now this year, do you really think it's a safe way to roll out there a bunch of really young players next year and hope for the best? That's not the reality. Paul Mills will be in big, you know, he'll be in a lot of trouble as far as heat goes. If that's the plan, the plan will have to be to bring in a bunch of other different players in the off season. So I don't know I don't know how much of that we're going to see. You know, we thought for a moment maybe we'd see some of it, but at the same time, like, what does that accomplish in today's college basketball? It's not like you can count on having guys for 4 years anymore. So what do you do there? I think it's an interesting dynamic that we'll watch play out over the last bit of this season.
Yeah, and we're a week removed from those comments that Paul Mills made about seeing what he's got in some of these other guys. And a week later, I mean, I remember thinking at the time, like, oh, that's bold. Like, that's an interesting comment. And I wondered how real it was. And outside of, you know, I know Pipkin got some extended minutes last night out of necessity because of injuries. We haven't really, in the couple of games that they've played since he made those comments, we haven't really seen anything change. Yeah, and so a week removed from that, I think it's pretty apparent to me, at least, that, you know, he used that as motivation. Like, it was a comment like, hey, you know, you veterans, you're not delivering the way that you need to be delivering. And so, I'm sure he's been harping on that privately for quite a while. It got to the point to where he had to say it publicly. He had to say it publicly to hopefully maybe get back to these veterans. Like, look, like, I've got to go through my press conference now to get through to you guys. I'm going to have to threaten to play other players and have people talk about it around the community. Like, he's going to be willing to make those changes. And at least from what we saw when they played North Texas close and then last night against Charlotte, you know, it makes me think that, you know, at least I'm cautiously optimistic that maybe those veterans received that message loud and clear.
And it needed to be. I haven't thought, you know, it's so funny. There have been times we were just talking K-State, where I've absolutely thought, yeah, they're not all the way bought in. Like, they're not out there giving their best effort to, and this is just to me, I haven't really felt that way about the Shockers. Like, I have never really watched them play and be like, man, they just don't care, or they're not bought in. They just didn't play well a lot, right? Or whatever they're trying to do wasn't the right thing to do. And so they weren't executing, whatever it is, but it never really felt like an effort thing to me. Maybe that's just me, but I don't think it's been the case. And so, yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? Like, and that's the thing, like, Mills's job is on the line. However much heat there is this year, it will be next year. So there is a ton of pressure to start winning games. And so I Now that we're a week removed, I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of different things with the roster, and I'm not sure that those would have been the best way to win games. They just need to go do what they're supposed to do. They need to execute, and they'll win a bunch of games down the stretch, or they don't, and is will continue to be very uncomfortable. But we'll see. The Shockers play again. It's a Sunday game at South Florida. That's going to be a tough one. That'll be a tough one, but we'll have it for you over on KEYN. More on that game later in the week. Real quick, Tommy, this Luka trade, now that we're in the aftermath, and I'm seeing Kevin Durant might, you know, be shopped around, and the NBA is always insane and all these things. We're starting to get the reaction to the Luka trade, and it cracks me up that literally everybody, it's like, yeah, boy, I thought this was fake. Why did we all think it was fake? It's not that we thought it was fake because, well, two reasons. Why would the Mavericks ever trade that player? That's one reason everybody thought it was fake.
Yeah.
And the other reason everybody thought it was fake is because the return was nothing. And like everybody, LeBron saying this, AD, Luka, like everybody's like, I'm telling you, man, like that didn't make any sense to me either. You hear from the general managers. What do you think it's like right now being that GM of the Mavericks? I've talked to a lot of Mavericks fans.
He's got to go into like witness protection, I think, at this point.
I'm telling you, man, like it's going to, like, if you're right, which it seems like there's about a 0.5% chance you are, it's going to take a long, long time for that to play out. It's going to be a rough time for that guy. It is. I've talked to Maverick fans. And I loved the Mavericks during the Dirk years, and when I was younger and was a little more locked into the NBA. I'm far less so now because we pay so much attention to college basketball now. But like, it just deflates the energy. That was a team that was in the NBA finals last year. And it's just like, meh. And Mavs fans are like, well, man, I don't know now. Like the only reason they were watching and locked in is because of Luka. You're going to get locked in because of Anthony Davis at this point? No.
It was a trade failure of epic proportions, I think, even now. And we don't even know like the far-reaching impacts of it.
But there's no outcome that doesn't make it a bad trade.
Let's just say that they felt like Luka was not the right fit for their long-term organizational needs. Okay, you're probably wrong about that. But let's just say that like that's an accepted thing. At least put him on the market. At least see what you can get for him. You know, don't just like give him away for a bag of beans or a bag of bones in the case of Anthony Davis. Like, I think that's what has made it so shocking for me, at least, is not even necessarily that they traded him. Like, that's a wrong move for the Mavericks, but at least like put him out there and see what you can get, because I guarantee you, like 98% of the teams in the NBA are going to give you a haul in return for getting Luka Doncic.
Yes. I was talking to around the office, the water cooler talk yesterday. That's what I thought. I said, and it's the same thing for me. Like, even if the Mavericks are 100% correct in trading Luka because he's too injury prone or he doesn't do anything, no matter what the outcome is, outside of Anthony Davis leading them to a title this year, which he will not, they will not be justified in the trade, because even if they were right, they didn't get enough for Luka.
Right.
So even if you're right about his ultimate future, you took pennies on the dollar for him. So that's the thing. The only way they're justified is if Anthony Davis leads them to a title. It's not going to happen, right? It's just not. So you lose. There's no winning scenario for the Mavericks here. There is not one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a reason why when like you sell your house, like you get a realtor and you put it on the market for people to go and like take a tour and make
you got the hottest
offer,
house
right?
on the market.
Yeah, like you don't just like have somebody whisper in your ear that, hey, I'll take your house and I'll, you know, take it for nothing. And you're like, okay, that sounds good to me. I won't even put it on the market.
It's not even that, right? It's like, you've got the best house, most desirable house on the market, and you reach out to the other realtor and say,
you want to take this off my hands?
I don't care if they give me the most money. I want them to buy my house.
Yeah, I want them to buy my house.
This guy.
And if they could give me a trailer in return, that would be ideal.
Unbelievable. No offense to Anthony Davis, who's still a really good player when he's out there. Just like, come on, man. We'll come back. We'll talk a little Chiefs. We got KU Insider Shri Islada next hour. Stick around, Sports Daily.